if you really want to get good at sales and you really want to be a closer, you're going to have to work on developing yourself, and you're going to have to get the information that other people don't have. And it means you're going to have to put in the work, and you're going to have to put in the effort. Now, the great thing for you is most salespeople are lazy.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today, we are going to talk about the elements of being a closer that they don't teach you in sales. And I've been on this quest since 2002 to find every strategic advantage that I could get to learn how to sell more, to close better, to find sales skills that nobody's talking about, to find places that like, hey, where can I get something that nobody else teaches in the world of sales? And I'm going to give you a couple of them today. And some of them may seem a little bit different, but when you start thinking about how they work together and how they piece together, it's one of those things where if I could start all over again in 2002, 2003, these are some of the places that I would look instead of the traditional places that I had to get information from, okay? So on this list, number one, copywriting. So copywriting is advertising in print or salesmanship in print. And one of the things that happens in copywriting is the ability to put out a clear message. There is a marketer, Dr. McLaughlin, and he says persuasion is simplicity. And if you're going to write a letter to somebody and you're going to make it persuasive and you want to persuade somebody, you have to know how much to say, what not to say, how to say it, how to engage people, what words to use. And there's something about writing something persuasive that allows you to say things persuasively. And so if I had to start all over again, instead of waiting until 2010 to work on some copywriting courses, I wish I would have started taking them in like 2005, 2006, after I was able to clear through Sales Basic Mastery. It's one idea, one thought, one concept, and it teaches you to stick on track, keep on track. It teaches you to have the ability to work through a conversation and then work through the PSs and the bonuses. Copywriting is one of those places where I look around. If I had to start all over again, it's one of the places that I would take a look at. Two on this list, screenplays. Screenplays are all about dialogue. You know, you learn the importance of how people talk back and forth. You learn what are some of the words that get people engaged, whether they're emotional words, whether they're dry words. When people are talking back and forth, you get to see how emotions are wrapped up in the conversation. You get to see how people go back and forth with what they're saying. And some of that comes down to the written, you know, walk over to the window, put the glass down. There's a lot of elements to dialogue that just don't, you know, you wouldn't really think of that would lead to building better sales, but it does. There's a book by Robert McKee called Dialogue. You know, big, thick book. It's a good book. It's a good audible. It's a good thing to listen to. I'm not going to say it's a weekend because I mean, it's a thick book, and I think it's 12 hours on audible. But screenplay is one of the best places that you can get some information. And in that, you can learn about character diamonds or character arches where, you know, there is a person and here's their strengths and here's their weaknesses and here's their flaws and their desires. You know, you can use that to your strength when dealing with buyers. You could build a buyer diamond or a buyer arch and know what that buyer is going to want and what they're going to do and how they're going to react. You know, when you're looking at dialogue, you're looking at timing, you're looking at conversation, you're looking at flow, you're looking at the end of the day when it comes out, how is the pitch and tone done? How was it being directed? So that leads into acting courses. Whenever you're doing acting, there's a lot of things that go into what was just talked about with copywriting and screenplay. There's timing involved in acting. If you get your timing wrong, in a play or in a movie, it's going to feel awkward. If it's too fast or too slow, people are going to be like, eh, something's off here. The best actors know when they're supposed to speak, and they know how they're supposed to say things. They understand the emotional responses. They understand what's going on. And so it doesn't matter what city you're in. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. You can take acting classes. And you're like, Scott, I don't have anything near me. I'm going to promise you, you can do them via Skype. One-on-one's better. But, you know, you got to stop looking for the reasons why you can't do it and start looking for reasons. How do I make it happen? M-I-H. Those are my favorite three letters when it comes to talking about anything. M-I-H. Make it happen. Pitch and tone. You know, what is the expected response? What is the way it's supposed to be said? What is the way it's supposed to be done? And when you take acting courses, you get to figure out the timing of where things are supposed to be. So let's say that you're sitting in a negotiation and you've done enough negotiation in your life. You've done enough deals in your life to know when things are said right and when they're said wrong. And you can start keying in on vocal pitch and tone. You can start keying in on timing to look for nervous energy. You can start tying all this stuff together. Sure, you can learn it from sitting in enough deals, but another thing to do is to look for the interpersonal skills that are going to make you better at what you do. Next on this list, number 4, stand-up comedy and improv. And if you're going to notice, there's a common trend in a lot of this is conversations about timing, about pitch and tone. And one of the things that you learn in improv and stand-up comedy is how to milk a crowd and how to tell a joke and the timing for the punchline and how to repeat information and how to keep people engaged. And I have this belief that there's three traits of really top salespeople. And one of them is that they're good looking. Get over it. It happens. Okay. The next one is people are socially awkward. And the next one is people are funny. And it's usually a mix of any of those two. You can have somebody who's socially awkward and good looking. You can have somebody who's socially awkward and funny. You can have somebody who's good looking and funny. You know, it's just those three character traits typically make really good salespeople. And the funnier people are, the more it puts people at ease. There's been plenty of situations riding along with salespeople that I've seen things go sideways and the salesperson uses humor as their extra secret weapon to get out of things. And they're able to close more deals. Okay. So stand-up comedy is definitely number 4. Number 5, drama movies. Drama movies. And, you know, you watch a really good movie. It's all of these elements that I talked about together. You have the message. You have the dialogue. You have the acting. You have the timing. And what happens is when you look at drama movies and you're able to draw this information out and you're able to look at it and say, hey, I just saw what happened. I see how this dialogue went together. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort, but it's going to make you a much better salesperson. It's going to make you a closer. It's going to make you a closer at what you do. Part of the thing to look at is how is music used? How is the coloring used in the scene? You know, where do they put the lighting? Where do they focus the energy on? Does the person come in from the right or do they come in from the left? You know, typically the villain comes in from the left and the good guy comes in from the right. Not all the time, but it happens in a lot of movies. You know, where is the tension built? Where are the things that the people are talking about or the people who are not getting along? Anytime that you watch a good movie, there's usually two people. And this is usually the flow of a movie. You have two people in the movie, and for whatever reason, they don't like each other. And it could be that they dated somebody, they were married, and then an event brings them together. Something happens, something bad happens, something incredible happens where they both go, you know what, we're being silly for not getting along. You know, I think we should get along. And then like all of a sudden, there's the way that they get along and the conversations. The ultimate version of this for me, for a movie, for a good example for you would be Bad Boys. You got Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. And in the beginning of the movie, they're bickering, they're going back and forth. There's all sorts of problems. Martin Lawrence thinks that Will Smith is cheating on his wife with him. And then, boom, something happens, you know, and then like now they got to get along and now they got to go after the bad guys. Now they got to go after the guys who stole the heroin. And it's just one of those things, like when you take a look at how people don't get along and then they do get along, it is a metaphor for your sales process. And I see salespeople screw this up a lot. Don't get me wrong. Rapport is super important. but sometimes so is tension. And sometimes so is telling people no. And when you learn and you're able to see how this works for you and how it works against you, it's one more way for you to close a deal. Number five on this list, anchoring. And if I had to explain anchoring, it would be like putting a highlighter in the mind of a buyer and marking up information. And, you know, I could ask you a question and anchor you. I could be on the phone. I could do it through a text message. I don't have to be face-to-face. I was able to close a $500,000 deal in about 90 seconds when everybody else took 20 minutes. And it was because I anchored. It's because I understood persuasion elements. Good name for this, Tom Vizzini, Kim McFarland, can't say enough good things about them. You know, persuasioncodes.com. They got really good training when it comes to anchoring. And if you really want to be good at sales, you know, finding the best places to learn for you to persuade better really do help. I mean, you know, you've got all sorts of books about persuasion, about influence, about body language. And don't get me wrong, those are important, but these are the things that everybody else is going to go after. And some of these elements will get you to the same spot faster. Okay, so we've got copywriting, screenplay, acting, stand-up comedy, drama movies, and anchoring. Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.